Chapter 14. The Dead of Mars. Clementina Yendel disembarked from the transit tube, the dusty windows of the station affording her a view of the facilities clustered about Pavonis Mons. Low volcanic slopes rose imperceptibly, a bulge in the land that somehow managed to attain 14 kilometres of altitude at its apex. Much of the mountain's shield was covered with manufactoria of immeasurable size, stepped ranks that marched ever upward until they passed out of the Martian atmosphere and into the airless void. One of the great Tharsian forge temples soared over its attendant factories, in its shadow the barracks of a Titan legion. Pavonis Mons looked like the rest of Tharsis, but there was a sombre air about this part of the Tharsis quadrangle, and rumours of a secret buried deep. Yendel knew it was more than hearsay. Yendel knew a lot of things. No data stream was safe from the infosite. She passed down the platform and out through crowdflow barriers. Machines inside the baroque pillars kept watch on the teeming citizenry of Mars. They read her implants, chiming acceptance of her signum codes. Yendel hurried down steps, arms hugging her data slate to her chest in perfect imitation of a lowly acolyte late in performing her errands. Wide doors opened into a wider hall. A curved plexiglass roof, its panels thick with the leavings of the last great dust storm, showed the pale blue of the Martian sky fading to yellow towards the horizon. A thick brown line of smog, trapped by atmospheric temperature striation, formed an artificial boundary between them, dividing one from the other definitively. The stairs plunged deeper into the Martian world city down a square shaft, and Yendel followed them for dozens of flights. A barrier divided the stairs into two, the left side for those going down, the right for those coming up. Cyber constructs buzzed through the air, using the shaft's middle as their own highway. Only lower-ranking followers of the Omnisire used the steps, but they numbered in the billions, and examples of all of Mars's strange humanity could be seen there. Clanking servitors carrying giant burdens caused choke points, slowing the descent to a crawl, their monotasked minds ignorant of the curses and shouts of those they delayed. A file of electro-priests passed upwards, singing a buzzing electric song to their god, their blinded eyes and tattooed blue skin all but concealed by the grey robes and hoods they wore. Adepts of less humble station clattered about on skittish spider sedans, using the weight of their machines to push through the throngs. Yendel pushed also, muttering to herself angrily about delays and system failures, often checking the chronograph set into the upper lip of her data slate with a frown. "Please, please let me through," she said, "or Magos Saltis will be angry with me again." Hers was but one of a million small problems harboured by those tramping the stairs, but a few allowed her to pass. She slipped around them, vox augmetics chittering effusive banaric thanks to the new sphere, and vanished into the crowd. Just another lowly adept, one among teeming multitudes. Ordinarily, Yendel would not have drawn even this small measure of attention to herself. Her temple's way was to watch, rarely to act, to blend seamlessly into whatever place they found themselves, to be a face in a crowd that no one would remember. Time was short. Tracking phages were close to sniffing out her data thieves parasiting the Martian world mind. Vero had arranged to meet with her the day before, but had not arrived at their rendezvous or contacted her since. Given a few more hours, Yendel would have divined her fate with certainty, but she did not need to. Red Haven had been compromised. Already she had begun to compile probable vectors for their discovery. Erquidex was the most prominent, but not likely, for the information he had provided her had been extremely sensitive. If she survived this mission, she would pay him a visit after Pavonis Mons. The Martians had hidden their intentions well, but not well enough. Another experimental undertaking had been established in the volcano's laboratoria. The same encrypted signifiers that were attached to the matter transportation experiments had been buried deep within the encoded data packets regarding this new development. Vast amounts of something were being delivered, but she had yet to ascertain what. The new sphere would only give up so many of its secrets. Yendel was forced to act, her task given greater impetus by Vero's disappearance. At roughly the level of Mars's original surface, now buried under a kilometre of plasmacrete, Yendel's exit from the stairs presented itself, one of many hundreds of large archways. She had to fight her way from the stairs, deftly enough to get free of them and through the door, but not so well that she drew attention to herself. She stiffened as she approached the hollow eye sockets of a bioscanner servitor guarding the way. "Proceed," it said leadenly to an adept ahead of her. "Proceed," to the next. "Proceed." A pale green scanning beam passed over her face. "Proceed," it said. The man behind her pushed impatiently. She hurried away, an endless litany of "proceed," following her down the corridor. Yendel went deeper into the hive factories of Pavonis Mons, following obscure ways, until she was mostly alone on dusty paths trodden only by slack-mouthed servitors and a few robed adepts. None of these furtive figures challenged her. There were thousands of subcults and power structures within the Adeptus Mechanicus, a failing she was singularly thankful for. She came to her last legitimate path, a narrow alleyway whose sheer sides stretched away into dark obscurity high overhead. She paused by a sealed access door, her hood over her face. A sole servitor stumped on by, power plant whistling. She waited until it had disappeared into the gloom. Sure she was alone, she acted quickly, prizing open a maintenance hatch and stuffing her adept's robes inside, where they fell into the unknowable spaces between the walls. Her body beneath gleamed with shiny sinskin. Pouches crowded her thighs and waist. At her hips were a pistol and a trio of stilettos. Her posture straightened, her augmetics reconfigured. The tech adept was gone, and the assassin was revealed. She primed her data slate for a full wipe, waited for its compliance light to blink green, then snapped it in two. She withdrew the memory crystal and ground it to powder under her heel. The remains of the data slate followed her robes, rattling away from discovery. She scooped up the powdery remains of the crystal and dusted half of that down the hatch also, retaining the rest for disposal elsewhere. It was perfectly possible the means to reconstitute the device existed somewhere within the vaults of Techno-Arcana that covered Mars. Her disguise dealt with, she flexed her fingers, extruding feathered access probes from her digital implants. The door slid open noiselessly, revealing an access corridor lit by dull yellow lumen panels. Glancing around herself one last time, she slipped out of sight. Crammed into a tiny ventilation duct, Yendel watched a storage hall through a grill. Yet another 20-wheeled hauler pulled up to a hissing halt. Tracked lifters, manned by the implanted torsos of servitors, swarmed it, acting in concert to lift the massive transit container from the flatbed and take it away to be stacked. Unburdened, the transport drew away, its place in the loading bay taken by another. Yendel frowned. She scanned the warehouse and saw nothing more threatening than servitors of various kinds trudging about their endless labours. She shuffled back along the ventilation conduit on her hands and knees, seeking out a point of egress. There were no hatches or large panels that could be prized free. She probed in the semi-darkness at the joints between the plates, eventually finding a tiny access portal less than a third of a metre on each side. The bolts securing it she undid in short order, and it fell to the floor 2 metres below with a quiet bang. Taking a deep breath, Yendel forced her arm out and pushed her head after, the lip of the metal scraping her forehead as she twisted to fit through. Shoving with her toes, she attempted to push herself out, but she would not fit. The corridor her head protruded into was deserted, but clean, and clean meant heavily trafficked. From the corner of her eye she could see the end, a doorless aperture opening directly into the warehouse. She had to get in there to see what was in the containers. Taking another deeper breath, she made her muscles in her back spasm violently, dislocating her shoulder. Now she could fit. Yendel wriggled through, blanking out the pain as her shoulder emerged through the hole. She let her left arm flop down. With her upper torso out, the rest slithered out easily. She executed an inelegant somersault and landed on her feet. She waited, poised, one hand on the pistol at her waist. The bustle of the warehouse continued uninterrupted. Holding her shoulder, she went to the wall, then slammed it into the metal. The bones relocated themselves with a painful pop. She rotated her shoulder. a good reset. The discomfort was manageable. Drawing pistol and blade, she crept noiselessly into the warehouse. Another of the great weaknesses of the Martian Empire was that so many of its citizens were mindless drones. Such an eagerness to lobotomize played into the hands of the likes of the Officio Assassinorum, whose operatives could move far more freely than on other worlds within the Imperium. The servitors simply ignored anything that fell outside their programming. The warehouse was crowded with cyber constructs of all kinds. She dodged between them as they rattled about and went to the door of one of the shipping containers. The lock was Sigma-grade, heavily shielded. She could get it open, of course, but that would bring with it a risk of detection, and would take time. She looked about. They could not just be stacking containers. Somewhere they must be unloading them. From where she was situated, she could see no open containers or other types of servitor that might lead her to her goal. So she looked upwards. The stacks were tall, and she would fare better from the top. Holstering her pistol and placing her knife between her teeth, she clambered up the smooth side of the transit containers. Once up, she ran and jumped from stack to stack, always landing silently, gun ready for interception. A hunch drew her to the rear of the warehouse, and there, fortune favored her. At the foot of the stack, the doors to a container were open. A file of servitors, carrying something like casualty beers, were marching inside, their stretchers empty, and returning with them full, massive bulky objects hidden in white plastic sacks. These servitors, too, seemed to be unsupervised, so she leapt from the top of the containers, weak Martian gravity allowing her to fall several meters with the lightest of impacts. She hurried to the line of servitors and fell in beside them. As usual, they ignored her. They trudged towards a door out of the warehouse where a dingy corridor led away. A quick slip of her knife opened one of the sealed bags, and she bent down to peer inside, still moving alongside the servitors. Inside was the naked corpse of an orc. The smell of it was staggering, and she switched to breathing through her mouth. A fat pink tongue lolled between dagger teeth of yellow ivory. Its red eyes were half closed, lifeless and dull. Massive craters pocked its flesh, and the left arm was missing. Bolt wounds. She stepped back, letting the flow of servitors pass her as she moved back up the line to the container. Inside were dozens of shelves arrayed like bunks, transit webbing hanging loose over the sides where they'd been emptied. At the rear of the container, a refrigeration unit blinked running lights from red to green and back again. White vapor, smelling strongly of methylon, pooled on the floor. Yendel ran through the calculations in her head, balancing up the size of the warehouse with the number of containers and transit cradles. She drew in a sharp breath. Over 10,000 orcs. "What by the throne do they want 10,000 dead orcs for?" she whispered. She had to inform Vangarich. She had to make contact. Yendel sneaked through the comings and goings of servitors. There were so many, she almost did not recognize the Skitarii for what they were, until it was too late. So much metal melded to flesh. Telling the autonomous servants of the priesthood apart from their slaves was nigh on impossible. At the last second, she noticed them, diving behind a container as a bullet buzzed past her face, setting her internal rad sensors screaming.
"Halt! Halt! Unauthorized personnel! Halt!"
screeched a harsh metallic voice. Iron feet pounded the plastcrete of the warehouse floor, coming at her from both sides of the container stack. The first Skitarius found an energy blast waiting for it. Yendel had studied the endless variations of the cybernetic warriors exhaustively, and knew the weak points of each. It was thrown backwards by the blast of her pistol, an exotic relic of the Great Heresy War, tangling the legs of the one coming behind it. Yendel was already moving backwards, directly into the path of those coming up the other side. She sidestepped the next bullet coming for her, a movement that brought her around the barrel of the Skitarius's gun. She grabbed the stock, preventing the cyborg from repositioning its weapon, shooting the one behind with her pistol, then the one behind that. The gears of the Skitarius's mechanical arms clicked with effort to push Yendel aside, but her slender augmetic arms were supplemented with hidden fiber bundles, and her stance was immovable. Two further Skitarii rounded the rear of the container. The first's visor met her elbow, driving shattered glass and metal into its brain. The second got a bullet from the gun of its comrade when Yendel pivoted on the spot and yanked hard, mashing the trapped Skitarius's finger against the trigger. Only that one remained. She wrenched the gun away, threw the Skitarius aside, and shot it 3 times, in the chest, head, and reactor unit. She made sure they were all dead and their data cores shattered. Then she was away. Alarms rang. Before anyone could respond, Yendel had gone. A steady procession of foot traffic flowed along the Trans-Tharsis Highway's pedestrian strip. The lights of giant vehicles blurred past in a roar of color and sound. Clementina Yendel arranged her new disguise, a robe taken from a menial now dead and never to be found. She adjusted her posture, becoming once again the low-ranking adept, her augmetics adopting the twisted pose of bionics more hindrance than help. Transformed, she slipped from a side door in an unassuming block and joined the crowds. She had gone less than 3 kilometers before she became aware of the servo skull following her some meters behind. Yendel was too well practiced to reveal she had noticed. She picked up speed. The skull did likewise, a constant presence amid the confusing whirl of aerial constructs going about their duty. She selected an ambush site. A one-man lift ascended to a gallery hanging from the lower floors of a kilometre-long hab complex. A covered walkway led off into the building there. She ascended the lift and went down the alley. Sure enough, the skull followed. A junction beckoned, and she took an abrupt left. When the skull came, she was waiting with her cloak, whirling it out like a net and catching the device mid-flight. She hauled it to earth, her strength overcoming its anti-gravity field and bouncing it from the floor. She wrestled it into submission and freed it from the cloak. A standard model, bronze-plated ancient bone, long tendrils of interface cabling hanging from its rear. By the standards of Mars, wholly unremarkable and unarmed. It stopped struggling.
"Message, message, message,"
gargled the skull, its glass eyes flashing.
"Speak," said Yendel.
A click sounded as a vox feed engaged.
"I have been searching for you everywhere."
"My well-placed friend."
"The very same," said Urquidex.
He sounded agitated. "I hope for your sake this feed is encrypted."
"Of course,"
he snapped. "But we must be brief. The privacy of this channel cannot be guaranteed for long. One of your colleagues has met with an unfortunate end, and the secrecy of your cell is compromised. It will take the diagnostic covens a little time to retrieve the information from the cortex. Organics are so much less forgiving than mechanisms, but they will."
"She's dead?"
"I had guessed," said Yendel.
"Yes, I am sorry."
"Sorrow helps nobody."
"I have other news," said Urquidex.
"The Fabricator General has embarked on new work. I do not know what. I am attempting to find out."
"Orcs," said Yendel.
"What?"
"Thousands of orc corpses are being delivered."
"To the laboratory of Pavonis Mons?"
"Yes," said Yendel. "I've come from there. I was seen."
"Disaster," said Urquidex.
Yendel let the servo skull free. It bobbed level with her eyes.
"Tell me something I'm unaware of," she said. "Tell me what they want with so many dead orcs."
"I do not know," said Urquidex.
"Kubik told me himself. Magos van Auken heads a work as important as the grand experiment."
He paused.
"I delay all I can, but cannot do so indefinitely. I cannot stop the grand experiment."
A faint crackle sounded on the connection.
"Danger comes. I must go. Stay alive. I will attempt contact soon."
The skull flew away, becoming one among hundreds hurrying through the tunnel. Yendel lost sight of it quickly. She was not so naive as to believe she could disappear so easily.